Psalm 14, officially now my favourite psalm. Okay? I must have read it before at some time in my life, because when I was a teenager I read the whole Bible from front to back. I wasn't conscious of having read it before I started reading it earlier on this week. And I guess if I started reading another psalm next week, then it might become my favourite psalm. So I'm not necessarily committing myself to lifelong faithfulness to this one, but it's great. It just, when you look at it, it says what you expect it to say. And then I think when you look at it a bit more closely, it says something just right at the end, which I believe could make a significant difference to us in the way that we try to organize our lives and respond to the situations in which we find ourselves. So let's read it together. If you've got a Bible in front of you, I'm reading from the Good News Bible, which is the one that's underneath the seats. But if you've got your own, then it ought at least to be recognizably similar. Psalm 14, there's nobody here that needs page numbers. Psalm 14, it's on page 542 if I have overestimated you. And this is the word of God. It says, "Fools say to themselves, there is no God. And they are all corrupt. And they have done terrible things. There is no one who does what is right." And the Lord looks down from heaven at human beings to see if there are any who are wise, any who worship him. But they've all gone wrong. They're all equally bad. Not one of them does what is right, not a single one. "Don't they know?" asks the Lord. "Are all these evildoers ignorant? They live by robbing my people and they never pray to me." But then, and we don't know when then is, but it will be. But then they will be terrified. "For God is with those who obey him. Evildoers frustrate the plans of the humble, but the Lord is their protection." How I pray that victory will come to Israel from Zion. How happy the people of Israel will be when the Lord makes them prosperous again. Let me give you just another 30 seconds to read through that again, Psalm 14. Clearly, for us, the real challenge as Christians is to live lives that are useful to God in a sin-sick world. We are challenged with the responsibility of shining like stars in a dark sky, and a star stands out at night. We are called upon to be salt or light to the nations, and light is visible. Salt can be tasted. So we've got to be distinctive. We've got to be distinctive in a positive way, stars to navigate by, salt to preserve, light to illuminate. We've got to live lives as Christians that are useful to God in a sin-sick world. And that's got moral implications for us. There are things that we need to avoid doing because they are wrong, even though, because we are fallen, these things sometimes seem to be seductively attractive. So as Christians, there's really two things that we need. First of all, we need to have a path to walk along. We need to know where the boundaries are, where the edges of the path, where the no man's land is on either side of what God has given us to do. What is good and evil? Where is the route that is mapped out for us? So we've got to know where in theory, in a perfect world, we would put our feet. But we've also got to know what to do when that path seems to be blocked. Okay? Because it's not just the case that we've been given the law and left to get on with it, or given the commandments of God and left to obey them. There are times when we come up against frustration, opposition, or problems, or things that mean that our good intentions are unable to be carried out. How do we deal with opposition? And I want to suggest to you that Psalm 14 helps us, has something to say with regard to both of these things. What is the right path, and what do we do with the problems? And it helps us with the right half, I think, by saying to us something like this, that sin on either side, wandering off the path, sin is culpable ignorance. Okay? Psalm 14, verse 1, makes the bold statement that it is fools who say to themselves, there is no God. And they're either saying God doesn't exist, I'm an out-and-out atheist, or else they're saying the God that these other people preach about, who cares whether I behave myself or set standards that I will get punished for breaking, that God's a no-God, a powerless God, a God who cannot discipline in the ways that they're afraid of. Fools, he says, say to themselves there is no God. Now that picture that sin is culpable ignorance in many ways goes against the kind of run of play in science today, where sin is very often treated either as moral confusion, we had no way of knowing right from wrong, or else as victimized abuse. Sin is moral confusion either because technology has moved on and there's ethical dilemmas to resolve that we didn't think about before. You can go back to the debates of the ancient rabbis in the second century and you won't find anything there to help you with human-animal hybrid embryo research, because the rabbis didn't spend long discussing that kind of possibility. So sin is moral confusion also because in our society we have found